The pagan philosopher Nietzsche said, man is something that must be overcome. And Jesus said the same thing. There's a part of us that has to be overcome, and that's me. I, Bart, a little bit different in a theological place, wrote this. He said, we fear and avoid the evil, not because it is evil, but because it might endanger us. And should we allow ourselves to be enmeshed in it too deeply through its fretting powers, it might make our human life precarious. Likewise, we consent to the good, not because it is good, but because it assists us in the establishment and the fortification of the I, meaning me, what I want, what I'm about, that I'm the center of the universe. Whenever you see the I in that, that's what he's talking about, us. A good conscience is a peaceful pillow, yes, and more we seek God, not for his sake, but for our own sake. You know, that's a question we're just going to look at. You know, why do we do what we do? Or why do we not do what we do not do? What's the reason? Is it for our own sake? Or really, is it anything about what Jesus wants for us? What is the reason for it? We seek him because we are strengthened by him, comforted, and hope to be saved. We seek him so that we might use him for a mighty retreat for ourselves. Christians, without exception, do not root up and conquer the I of man, me. It's a very difficult thing to overcome the fact that I want my way, ain't it? We kind of shield that with Christianity sometimes. It is I. Like, I knows that we Christians, while we contribute much, yes, the most, yes, we give and offer even the last thing we have, yet that is last thing we will not give is ourselves. Not all of us. We're only going to give that part, and we're going to always keep back. And basically it's this, you know what you're going to do? Just what you want to do. That's what you're going to do. How many times did we really do what Jesus wants us to do? We trump it. So that's what he's talking about in this whole thing, I. There's a problem. G.K. Chesterton was right when they posted that question a long time ago. And someone wrote in the magazine, the Worldly magazine then, said, you know, what is wrong with the world? And he answered and he says, I am. You know what the problem is? You are. And I am. That's exactly what he's talking about. For that reason, the world does not fear us very much at present, Christians. One condition we persist in laying down, perhaps unwittingly even to God, even in our praying and pious living, and this condition is ourselves, we the human, our I. We will not let ourselves be conquered. I'm not giving in to Jesus. I don't care what he says. I don't care what everybody says. I'm going to do what I want to do. On the contrary, we assert ourselves. That's a big deal in Christianity today. Oh, you got to take charge and you got to. Nope, that's not exactly right. We defend ourselves. We appear to be strong. So whatever we think is right, that's what we do. And he's right. I don't agree with him on everything by any stretch of the imagination. In Acts chapter 1, verse 15 and following, there's a unique setting here, and it's kind of odd, but we're going to look at it, and this is the question, this, why is it in this paragraph he brings up Judas? It's after the resurrection, it's the promise of the baptism of the Spirit, and yet Pentecost hasn't happened yet, so right in the middle there, he starts talking about Judas. Why would he do that? You know, if you're reading through it and studying through it, you kind of go, wait a minute, where'd this come from? That's what we're going to look at quickly today. And what we're going to hope I assess is, you know, how much we're just like Judas. You know why Judas did what he did? Because that's what he wanted to do. You know, a lot of people try to say, oh, well, you know, he was predestined. He was the son of perdition. He didn't have a choice. You always have a choice. Always. Does God know what's going on? Yes, he does. Does he give you a choice? Oh, yes. I know there's a lot of people in this crazy openness of God theology and all this stuff where they say, well, you know, God really didn't know what he was going to do. He had to kind of wait and see what Judas was going to do because God really didn't know what he was going to do. Jesus said beforehand, I know who you are. I know all about you. And some people try to say, well, if that's true, then God can't hold him responsible. Well, if that's true, if God is sovereign and you have no choice and I have no choice, then why did Jesus die on the cross? Because nobody's sinning. If you and I sin and God's in control and he makes you sin, then he can't hold us accountable for sinning. So he can't hold Judas accountable, and he can't hold Pilate accountable, so there's no reason for the cross because nobody's doing anything wrong. But that's what they think. That's what they say. And a lot of it's infiltrated the church in the United States in a crazy way. Oh, God doesn't really know. He's just waiting to see how you're going to act so he can make his decision. Well, in one way, that's true. He's going to wait till you see if you respond to him or not, whether you're condemned or not. He knows already. He knows that. But he's going to say, if you repent, you're not condemned. That's what John says, right? He says, if you do not repent, you're condemned already. So in that sense, yeah, but it's not like Jesus doesn't know what's going on and who Judas was. And the question is, then why did he enlist him to come? If he knew who he was, why did he ask you to come? You think you're any better than Judas? Huh? I'm not. I'm just like him. In the right circumstances, he's just a greedy individual. Most of us just try to cover it up where everybody think better of us, right? Basically, whatever it is. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. They're back in the upper room, a large room where 120 people are. And the number of them was about 120. And this is what he said. He said, men and brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled. That's one of the main points. Why is he talking about Judas? Because there was a promise made a long, long time ago, 1,000 years before this was happening. He said, scripture said this is going to happen. This had to happen. Because the scripture said it was going to happen. It had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, 1,000 years before this event happening, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus, for he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. You say, oh, that's gory. Sin is always that way. We just don't always see the bad side of it, but there's always that side of it. Some people try to argue, well, there was a contradiction in who said the way it happened. When you boil it all down, both of them saying the same thing, how he died and how the field was bought because of his sin money, all right? And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called their own language, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate and no one live in it, and let another take his office. Therefore, all these men who have accompanied us all this time that the Lord went into and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day that when he was taken up from us, one of these must, here you go again, it had to, must, imperative. Why? Because the scriptures already said it's going to happen. And the Holy Spirit's going to make sure it happens. Must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they proposed two of those, Joseph, called Barsabbas, and who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and they said, you, O Lord, know the hearts of all. Show which of these that you have chosen to take part in the ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, and that he might go to his own place. And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, if you're just reading through the book of Acts and you say, why in the world did he throw Judas in this? He's promising the baptism of the Holy Spirit and Pentecost is about to come and everything is great. Why do you want to bring Judas up? How many of y'all know anybody named Judas? Anybody got a dog named Judas? You know anything named Judas? Why? You ever thought about that? We name people all other names in the Bible. Why don't anybody name him Judas? You ever thought about that? Why is that? Why is this passage in here? There's a good reason for it. That's what we're going to look at quickly. I know it's a little bit more maybe technical, but it's so important. Why? Because it was promised, and whatever God said he was going to do, regardless of how many thousand years it takes to unfold, it's going to happen. And Peter said it had to happen because the Holy Spirit promised it and spoke it through the mouth of David. He wants us to see something from this passage sandwiched in between these two things, the promise of the Holy Spirit coming, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the day of Pentecost. Why is it there? What's the reason for that? Why all this concern about Judas and how he died and who's going to replace him? What's the big deal with that? The purpose is the fulfillment of Scripture. I feel so sorry for all these people who follow these morons who say we don't need the Old Testament. Like Andy Stanley. What? Yeah. We don't need the Old Testament. We don't need the Bible to tell us anything. I don't know if you ever read that, what he says. We quote that all the time. I know Jesus loves me because the Bible tells me. So we don't need that. He's lost his mind. Anybody, if I get up here one day and say, we don't need anything from an Old Testament, you can go ahead and have me committed because I have just lost my mind. It says what? The fulfillment of Scripture. The Old Testament promised that by the mouth of David, God recorded this was going to happen. And Peter said, oh, it's got to happen. That's the way God is. Whenever he says something, it's going to happen. He says in the verse, it had to be fulfilled. By the way, I've said this too many times. You cannot understand the Old Testament without the New or the New without the Old. You can't separate those things. They absolutely go together. Each one complement each other and give you the full story. One without the other one is not good enough. And God knew that. That's why he kept it recorded for us. Which the Holy Spirit spoke before him by the mouth of David concerning Judas. So what scripture was that? He's talking about written in the book of Psalms. One of them, let his habitation become desolate, and there be no one to live in it, and his office let another take. The other two different testaments, one in one place we'll see in the other one. Both of them in this paragraph, you see the fulfillment of that promise. So that's what really makes the paragraph important. The fulfillment of each one is the same thing. One in Psalm 69:25, let his habitation become desolate and let there be no one to live in it. And the word is fulfilled in how Judas died and then purchased this what's called the field of blood. And the second one is of Psalm 109, let his office let another take. And the word was fulfilled when they had to have the 12th. Why didn't they just let 11 get by? That's not the way it works. God already promised. What did he tell him at the Last Supper? He said, when all this thing's over, you remember last week we saw when immediately Jesus said, they said, are you about to initialize the kingdom? Everything's going to come to pass? And he told them there, he said, you know, one day all of you, the 12 tribes, you're going to sit in judgment over the world. Have to be 12. 11 won't do it. And they know that. The scripture promises. And that's exactly what he's talking about. One has to do, it has to do with Judas. And the other one has to do with the fulfillment of the 12 disciples. You say, that's not that important. It's real important. Why? Because God promised it. The same thing he promises us. Whenever we die, if we're trusting in Jesus, he had a promise that he was not going to just let us be gone. He's preparing a place for us. The same thing. If the one about eternity is not important, then this one's not important. Right? You see, it plays the whole thing out. Judas' blood money came to buy this desolate field. The fulfillment is that in taking place as Peter speaks it described in both of these is what he's talking about. Over these four parts, we find the main theme of the whole paragraph here. The scripture had to be fulfilled. You know, I don't know if any other book you can find where if you look at the Old Testament, all the prophecies says this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And then you look down through history where every one of those things, I shouldn't say every one of them, so many of those things, because of the time frame, has been accomplished. And you can verify it. God said this is going to happen. History's shown this is happening. It's already happened. Up to the point where some of them have yet to happen. You're never going to find any other book that tells you, even if 1,000 years in between, this is going to happen. And it came to pass. That's how you validate the thing. That, you know, you can count on it because history shows that's exactly what happened. The purpose of the Holy Spirit. You know, we saw last week, I hope we saw last week, the purpose of the Holy Spirit was not to just teach us, wasn't just about teaching us how to speak in tongues. It was about empowering us so that we would live. You know, Kierkegaard himself said, you know, if these Christians really want me to believe in their Jesus, they need to live like their Jesus. That's what the empowering of the Holy Spirit's about. So that you and I will live different than Judas. We're going to see how Judas lived in just a minute. Unfortunately, too many of us live just like Judas. Why? Because you know what we're going to do? We're going to do exactly what we want to do. You know why Judas betrayed Jesus? Because he wanted to. God didn't make him do it, just like he doesn't make you do anything that you do. Well, I don't have a choice. That's just how God made me. No, 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 no. Nobody in here is sacred. I don't care what you try to excuse God. You don't have to do that. You have a choice. Always. The purpose of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to see the invincible purpose of the Holy Spirit. Nothing can change that. The Holy Spirit was there. It was a promise. This is going to happen. He wants us to see when the Holy Spirit says something, you can count on it, whether you like it or not, or whether anybody else likes it or not. When it says that, Peter says, this had to happen. What did he say? It must be done. Both things. That's exactly what it is. The invincible purpose must clearly in these words, it had to happen, and it must take place. That's an exact. It had to be. Now, aren't people really free to make life choices, whatever they want to, and so God just has to adjust his plans? That's where all this openness of God nonsense comes in. Well, you know, God really doesn't know. You know, only things he can see in the future really are the things already happened. You know, God can't, if there's not a monkey on my back, God can't see ahead of time that there's a monkey on my back because it ain't there. Isn't that crazy? That sounds just like that nonsense when we were in high school. That's the first time we heard it. I don't know how long it had been around. That would have been in the mid-70s where they said, you know, if a tree falls out there in the woods and nobody's there to hear it, it doesn't make a noise. Y'all remember all that nonsense? It's still nonsense. That's the same kind of, that's kind of these guys say, oh, well, you know, you can't say that God looks into the future and can see if there's a monkey on my back because the monkey ain't on my back yet, so he can't see it. No. God is looking down the corridors of time and sees everything. He knows what you're thinking right this second. He knows what your plans are. He knows that you know what you should and shouldn't do, but you still have the freedom to go do it if you want to, and you'll suffer the consequences. Don't go blaming God. Well, God, why'd you let this happen? He said, if you behave yourself, this wouldn't happen to you. If you listen to your mom and daddy, this wouldn't happen to you. Don't try to blame it on God. Well, God just made me that way. No, he didn't. No, you chose to act like a fool. Oh, that's not even politically correct, is it? Somebody acting like a fool? My daddy, bless his heart, he didn't have much of education. But he learned people right away. He said, let's go. I don't want to hear all this fool talk. And we'd leave whatever was going on because all it was foolishness. Foolishness. That's what's going on right there now. Foolishness in this woke world that we're in. There's only one answer. Either Peter was wrong and he didn't know what he was talking about, and everybody must decide, are you going to believe Peter or you're going to be a skeptic like everybody else and says, God really doesn't know? God does know. And the Holy Scripture says David wrote it down. God knew it 1,000 years ago and Jesus knew it whenever he called him. Peter was wrong or not. The Spirit expressed in Scripture, it's invincible. This is going to happen. That's why I put it in there. Now, how much of this I can go over real quick in the story of Judas? Y'all, you probably know the story of Judas, all that went on with him. He was in the close-knit group of the 12 as a follower of Jesus, and he sold out for 30 pieces of silver. Ended up, you know, he tried to turn it back into the religious group, and they said, we don't want it. So they bought a field with it, and he hung himself and committed suicide, and they called it the Field of Blood. That's just a short story of how it went, all right? I'm sure you all know about it, but that's exactly what it was. It's not hard to believe that God's purposes are invincible when things go well. Oh, yeah, God's got all this control. But what happens is when people start lying and people start cheating and people start dying, it's kind of hard for us to believe then, you know, when we're burying someone in our family that we love real close, it's kind of hard sometimes then to think God's invincible and he's still got all this stuff in control. Everything's going good, it's all right. But it's hard when things kind of are not going so well. It's hard to really stay in there and believe that. That's part of that reason why he's telling us this. Then you all need help to get to the point where you believe that the purpose of God are going to come to pass. And the problem is, we think we got it all figured out, don't we? I ain't talking about just preachers. There's a lot of them just nutcases. They don't have a clue what's going on. I understand that. That's why you always need to be careful who you listen to and what you read. Just because they have a PhD in front of their name or some pastor name in front, that don't mean anything. There's so many nuts out there with educations, it's crazy. Not in just pastoral fields, but in every kind of field. Just because they say, and they might have a lot of knowledge, but they don't mean they know anything. And a lot of times we think we got it all figured out. And we don't. We have to be careful about that. Not even Judas and Satan could undermine or escape the encompassing incivility. They're not going to change God's plan, and you're not either. Well, I'm just going to do it my way. It's going to cost you. I guarantee you. That's what R.G. Lee used to say. He said, you can eat the devil's corn if you want to, but he'll choke you on the cob. Don't ever think that you can outdo what God has in mind. And basically it's this, just like Judas. So let's go ahead and get there quickly, all right? John says, Jesus knew who it was from the very first, those who did not believe, and who it was who would. So the question is, then why would Jesus allow Judas to be in that close group? Why does he allow you in? You any better than Judas? Well, no, I'm not any better than Judas. You want to ask a question, why would he let Judas in? You know, that's what Peter tries to say in The Chosen. I don't know if you've been watching The Chosen videos yet, but you need to if you haven't. It's very, very emotional and really, really close to the Scripture. I mean, really, and Peter's kind of throwing out, you know, why do you want to call Matthew? And Jesus looked at him and says, why would I call you? Now, look who you were. Don't get so caught up to think you're better than somebody else. You and I are not any better than Judas. Given the right circumstances, our sin might, like, well, no, that's not right. Our sin did kill Jesus. You just might not get paid for it. But your sin and my sin did the very same thing Judas did. It was part of the plan that killed Jesus. So don't try to say, well, I'd have never done that. You do it now. Whenever you disobey, whenever I disobey what God says for us to do, that's the same thing we're doing, right? Hello? Yeah, that's right. He says he knew from the very beginning. So why would he do that? Jesus prayed, while I was with them, I kept them in my name, which thou hast given me. I have guarded them, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition. And a lot of people try to say, well, Judas didn't have a choice because he was the son of perdition. Do you know what that means? That word, look that up sometime. There's always a choice. Well, I didn't have a choice. If you're willing to die for what you believe, there's always a choice. Well, I'll be in poverty if I don't go live with this person. But you have a choice, right? Well, all my family will cast me out if I don't do this. But you do have a choice. If you're willing to die for it, no one, even Biden, can make you do anything. Did you know that? No one. No one. But the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Oh. Well, you can't blame him because Jesus knew that already. Go back to what I said earlier. So what does that mean? Judas is not, he's not guilty because God knew what was going to happen. So Pilate's not guilty because God knew what was going to happen. So nobody's guilty. So why is Jesus dying? Nobody's guilty. Hello? Logistically, think about that. Doesn't work that way. That's the problem, these open God people, they don't understand. The replacement of Judas, that was important. Half of that was devoted to the fact that they had to have that 12th person there. And he knew that, so he said, that's important. It had to be somebody who was there, walking with Jesus all this time, saw the ascension, knew that he was born again, that he was raised from the dead. All that had to be there. So one of the men who have accompanied us during time, he had to be there. And they put it together that way, and, you know, they chose lots. What exactly was that? That's about the last time you see that in the scripture. In the Old Testament, God used that. I don't know how he did that, but he would use the casting of lots to see his will done. And Peter said, you know whom you have chosen. Even though they're doing this, they had these two people. And Peter said, now you know out of these two who you've chosen to do this, so we're going to trust that this is how you're going to do it. And he was satisfied with that. God was satisfied, or he would have changed it, right? That's exactly where it goes. It shows us that pursuit of upward towards spiritual power. Oh, we're going to be spiritual and, you know, we're going to just, God's going to float all over us and we're just going to be, you know, whatever you call them, imams or preachers or whatever the spiritual leaders are. That's where we're going. We're going to do all that spiritual stuff. And here's what the problem is. You can't disconnect that from the pursuit backwards toward teaching and the work of the historical Jesus. You can't separate those things. You know, you never get up there without understanding who Jesus was, that he was God in the flesh. Remember what Paul, wondering about John taught us through the book of John? He said, it is impossible for anyone who does not confess that Jesus was God in the flesh to ever be saved. What are you saying? All the Jews who don't believe Jesus was God in the flesh are damned? That's exactly what it says. All the Baptists who do not believe Jesus was God in the flesh are damned. All the Presbyterians, all the Methodists, everybody. Anyone that says, oh no, I don't believe that Jesus was God in the flesh, then you don't have a chance. You've got to get past that one first. That's what he says. The historical Jesus, and I ain't talking about all this craziness stuff that came out in the last 40 years. Oh, well, the historical Jesus is not the one we have in the Bible. Then how do you know who he was? How do you know who God was if he didn't disclose himself to us? Hello? Oh, we're going to sit around and we're going to figure out what Jesus said. You know, that's what they called themselves back then, where they sent these, they tore out a lot of the scripture. I forgot what the name of that group was, a bunch of heretics. But they published a Bible where they said, oh, yeah, this is what Paul said, and he didn't say this, and this is what Jesus said, and he didn't say this. Because they just get to sit around in a group and vote on it. They wasn't there. They don't know what he said. All we have, only way we know what God says is because we have his recorded word for us. The Old Testament and the New Testament. That's exactly what it is. The Holy Spirit has unwavering zeal for the glory of Jesus. You know what the Holy Spirit's concerned about? That you and I live so that Jesus is glorified. The Holy Spirit is there not to make us speak in tongues, not to heal people. All the Holy Spirit's about is empowering us so that we live for Jesus and don't live like Judas. Well, none of us are Judas. All of us are. All of us. We do exactly what we know Jesus doesn't want us to do. But we think it's all right because we live on this side of the cross. Isn't that right? The Holy Spirit does not short-circuit this historical knowledge of Jesus. You need to see who he was by the scripture. That's how we know. That's how we know it. That's the only way we know it. He does not short-circuit what Jesus began to do and teach. Remember what we saw in the last couple of weeks? What did Luke start out saying? He said, this is the beginning of what Jesus is doing. It wasn't finished when he ascended and went to heaven. That was the start. It's supposed to be going on right now. And you and I are supposed to be living in such a way that it continues. That's what the Holy Spirit's there for. It empowers us because we can't do it on our own. Everything the Spirit does, it's never to draw attention to the preacher. The Spirit is never to draw attention to the church. The Holy Spirit is always to draw attention to Jesus. That's what it was, always. Never for about me, never about the church. It was always about Jesus. That's exactly what it was. John said, by this you will know that the Spirit of God, every spirit which confesses that Jesus Christ has come from the flesh, that Jesus was God in the flesh. That's a must. Now, how does this come to where we live? If the church longs, and I say church, I mean the people, y'all know that, right? Not just this building. This is nothing. This is a whole. When we're gone, it's not a church, it's just a steel building. If the church, us, if we really want the Holy Spirit to empower us, if that's our desire, to be clothed with that power from on high, we must devote ourselves not merely to prayer for this blessing. We're just going to sit around and we're going to pray and we're going to pray, God, that you do this and that we live in such a way that you empower us. That's part of it. We can't do that. We also give ourselves to the backward work of knowing the Jesus in the Gospels. Who was he? Where did he come from? What did he do? That's exactly what we're talking about. He says it's imperative. We have to do that. You have to know who he was. And when you start seeing all these people say, well, that's not what Jesus said. Well, that's not what the Scripture says, and that's the only thing we have to go on. We don't have that. We don't have anything. We must strive to hold on to the words and the deeds of Jesus recorded by the apostles. That's the only thing we have. That's it. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is invincible, and he has an unwavering zeal for the glory of Jesus. That's why the Holy Scripture is preserved for us. Everything else he does is measured by Jesus and glorifies Jesus. Jesus was betrayed. That's what led him to the cross. On the other hand, it happened, we're told, as it had been decreed. Go back to that same thing. Was Judas guilty or not? Well, decreed already that God said this was going to happen, and Judas just happened to be the one there, so he's really not guilty. So why is Jesus dying? You say, well, that didn't make any sense. Yeah, it does. If there's nobody responsible, that's the only I love that about Jordan Peterson's book, if you haven't read it yet, 12 Rules for, what's the title of it again? Over Chaos or something. Yeah, but chaos is in there. He's not even a professing Christian, but here's what he's talking about. You need to take responsibility. You're going to do exactly what you want to do. That's what you're going to do. If you don't want to live for Jesus, you're not. If you want to, you're going to do everything you can to. Then you're still going to fail, but you can't say, well, I'm never going to get any better than that, so I'm just quit trying. That doesn't work either. No, we're not sacred. On the other hand, it happened, we're told, as it had been decreed. Did God know it? Oh, absolutely. Did Jesus know it? Oh, sure he did. Does that mean he made Peter do it? No. God didn't make you buy cigarettes. He didn't make you buy drugs. He didn't make you buy alcohol. He didn't make you do any of that. Well, it ain't my fault. If God wanted me to quit smoking tobacco, he would quit making it. Huh? He made dirt. Go out and gargle some dirt. You don't do that, do you? Hello? Oh, well. Jesus sees, although there's a human agent, a betrayer, somebody had to identify Jesus. You know, they didn't have email. They didn't have Twitter. They didn't have Facebook. It would have been easy in that day and time for Jesus to go all over the place and a lot of people not know who he was. So they needed somebody to say, okay, this is where he's going to be. It's going to be a time when there's not many people around. Why do you think it was a night in the garden? Because had they done that in the middle of the day somewhere, there would have been a riot. They needed somebody on the inside. There had to be a betrayer. And Judas was going to do that. So God said, okay, I'll just use you. I know who you are. You know, you have a choice. He didn't have to do it. How many times did he have a choice? If you're going to do it, go ahead and do it. And he leaves and he does it. It's not just an accident of history, the result of one man's malice. It's not just it didn't turn out the way God wanted. You know, because he didn't know what Judas was going to do. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. He knows what you're going to do. He knows where you're going this afternoon. He knows how you're going to be disappointed to your parents, and you're going to think it's all right because everybody else is doing it. But God's going to hold you accountable for that. Why? Because you're going to be responsible, whether you're his or not. You're still going to answer for it. It's worth stopping for a moment to think through why Jesus appointed, why they needed somebody. They needed somebody to identify him. That's exactly what it is. That's the only reason. How do they know who he was? That's what it was. Now, quickly, let's get to Judas for just a moment. The foreknowing of predictable characters and what they... Did he know? What did he tell Peter? Oh, Peter, you're going to do this. And he did it. Judas, you're going to do this. And he did it. He knows it. It wasn't a chance. God knows exactly what's going on. But he ain't going to make you do anything. Nobody can. It would be better, Jesus said to Judas, if you'd never been born. Wow. Does he know what's going on? Yes, he knows what's going on. Judas is condemned not because he escapes the sovereignty of God. Well, you know, in God's sovereignty, so you can't blame Judas. Nope, you can't. But because at the end of the day, he did exactly what he wanted to. He sold Jesus out for money. Why do you do what you do? Why do you not do what Jesus wants you to do? What's the reason for it? Because that ain't what I want to do. Ain't that right? What did I say a while ago? You're going to do exactly what you want to do. That's what you're going to do. So don't ever try to come up, especially to me, and say, well, I just can't do that. I said, no. Why can't you do it? That's what I want to know. You think somebody's going to talk about you? You think nobody's going to befriend you if you go do this and you don't go with the rest of the crowd? Why do you not do what you're supposed to do? That's what the important thing is. Why are you doing it? That's the whole thing. Why did Judas do what he did? Because of who he was. Why do you do what you do? Sometimes people, they say, well, you know, I should have married I should have had a better spouse. Well, you ever thought about the person you married just because of who you are? Don't go blaming them always. Could be because of who you are. How you ended up with. Just by God's grace, you have to live with it sometimes. At the end of the day, we'll be condemned or praised, not because we managed to lose the sovereignty of God is in control, but because we end up doing what we want to do. Why do you do what you do? Why do you go to church on Sunday? Why do you read God's Word? Why? Why do you do that? This is the same question. What does that mean? It means it becomes vitally important if we grant there is some mystery in the very character of God. And a lot of people say, well, you know, we just can't put that together. We can't put the sovereignty of God together and the free will of man. It's really not that complicated. We just can't figure it out. There's too many places in the Scripture where it says God knows this, but he gave the men, people a choice. Always. You always have a choice. And God knows it. But you're still going to be held responsible. We must put our hands to our mouths and say, you know, I really don't understand this. You come to me and ask me something, I say, this is what I think, and I'll tell you, I think this because of this, this, and this, and this, but maybe I'm not sure on that. Some things we're sure of. We're sure how to be saved. There's no other name given under heaven whereby we might be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father. We don't have to worry about those. There's A's. We know exactly what it says. But sometimes it's some of these other things we don't know exactly. And then somebody gets them and says, well, I know exactly what this is. Maybe, maybe not. And sometimes we just say, God, I'm trying to figure this thing out. Help me. But usually in those little areas are not eternal questions. You know, they're not anything to do with whether you're going to go to heaven or hell or not. Those are the main A issues. These other ones are, you know, should we jump up there and hang from the lights or should we not? I don't care what you do, but you're not going to do it in here. All right? Because somebody's going to get hurt and somebody's going to be called a fool. And we just said, nah, it doesn't make any sense. Why do you want to do that, all right? Just logically. If there are some mysteries to God, it becomes vitally important that we handle them the poles of the mystery. What about this? What about this? What about Judas? Did he have a choice? Yes. Was God's sovereignty? Yes. Well, I don't understand that. Good. Some of it you're not. Judas was never saved. Do you understand that? There's people in this church who claim they're saved. They're not saved. How do you know that? I know that. I just know. Why? They buy into a system and they don't think through it. Okay? For example, there's people who haven't been back to church here since COVID. They're not coming back. Why? Because all it was for them was a habit. They got out of the habit. It's not an extension of their life, so they don't have to have it. So they're not coming back. I know they're not coming back. I know they're not. Am I worried about that? No. I don't get caught up in numbers. Jesus has to take care of them. I can't do anything about that. All right? Judas wasn't saved. How many times did Paul say, you need to examine yourself and make sure, wait a minute, how do you do that? Why are you doing what you do? That's the question. Why are you doing that? But because you want to be obedient to Jesus and you love him and you're thankful for what he did? Judas was never saved. He never was. No evidence of it whatsoever. John says already, you know what happened? He was a thief. John recorded after the fact. He said, you know, whenever she poured an expensive ointment on, why didn't you save that and sell that and give it to the poor? He was a thief, John said. He wanted to steal the money. He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for was that should betray him, being the one of the 12. He wasn't saved, but he was in the group. He associated with the rest of them. There's a lot of people, and I've seen it in 25 years. Man, they wouldn't miss a thing in the church, but they were just as lost as a goat in a hailstorm. Why? You just follow them around a little bit, and you can just tell. There's no repentance. They're never sorry. You know what they care about? Themselves. That's all they care about. They don't care if it hurts the church or anybody else. All they want is their way. You ever been there? We live there. You know, you get up every morning, you're going to decide, am I going to do what Jesus wants me to do today? Or am I going to do what I want to do? My way is going to be a lot easier. Jesus' way is always more difficult, isn't it? Hello? Who do you associate with? Oh, he was with the 12. Man, he's in Harmony Community Church. So what? You know, he's in Second Baptist Houston. So what? What difference does that make? Just you associate with somebody, doesn't mean anything. How many times did Jesus say that? His reputation. He had to be, they must have thought a lot of him. He counted the money. Who would you want to count the money? Somebody you could trust. Yeah. By reputation, he got in. But it was all fake. Why was he doing it? John said he was greedy. He wanted to take the money. Why do you do what you do? That's the question always. Why do you do what you do? Why do you go where you go? Why do you see who you see? Why do you date who you date? Why are you going to marry the person that you want to marry? Why? What's the reason for that? Because it's what I want to do. Isn't that right? I'm going to do just what I want to do. That's what I'm going to do. And some days when I finally give in to Jesus, I might do what he wants me to do. Probably rarely. Probably rarely. And thank the Lord he forgives me. But it's no excuse. I can't say, well, that's just the way I am. So what? You think Jesus is just going to let us off that easy? Oh, no, no, no. You do remember this, right? This is not part of the sermon. Every believer in Christ will answer for the way they live their life on this earth. Just because our sins are forgiven, don't think that you can just live any way you want and Jesus is not going to hold you accountable for it. He is. How he's going to do all that, I don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us, but it says it will happen. Everybody gives accounts. The lost people at the great white throne judgment, they give an account, and they understand why they're damned. And all the rest of us, we understand that we were not just free to live the way we wanted to live after Jesus died for us. We don't have that freedom. Why do you do what you do? Why did Judas do what he did? Because that's who he was. He was a minister? He went out with them, didn't he? Just because a preacher writes a book, that don't mean squat. You know that, right? Just because they got a PhD, that don't mean anything. There are plenty of people with a fifth grade education, a whole lot more intelligent scripturally than somebody with a PhD. It don't mean anything. Okay? And he said this how many times? Oh, we prophesy in your name. We cast out demons in your name. He said, I don't know who you are. You remember in The Chosen? Whenever Nicodemus comes up there and he's trying to cast out his demons out of Mary, and she spoke as a demon, he says, You don't have any ability here. That's what Jesus said. I don't know who you are. There's a lot of people that go through ministerial things, and Jesus is nowhere close to it. Churches do stuff all the time that Jesus would have nothing to do with whatsoever. Don't fool yourself. Well, I teach this. So what? Why you do it? Why don't you do it? That's another question. Why don't we live better than we live for Jesus? We're asking, why do we? Why don't we? There's more holes in what we don't do than what in we do, isn't there? Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out the devils and all these wonderful works? And what does Jesus say? I don't know who you are. Who are you? Paul said the ministers of Satan are transformed into ministers of righteousness. Every day's a Friday. Oh, they put on a good show, don't they? You saying Joel Osteen's lost? He sure sounds like it. I don't know if he is or not, but the things that you hear these people say, ooh, it's questionable. Even me, you know, you always want to weigh what I say. Why? Because one of these days I could wake up and be a fool and start telling all kind of nonsense. Yeah, haven't anybody. For Satan himself transforms us, what? Oh, everybody wants to go to the light. Did you hear? We've never heard anything like that before. Oh, this preacher is, man, we got to go listen to him because he's telling us we can live like hell and still be all right. I'll never forget. One of the older guys that I was raised around, he was an alcoholic, always been an alcoholic, just a pagan. But he used to work for us some. He was part of the family, extended family. And he drank all the time. I mean, it was horrible. Anyway, thank the Lord when he didn't work around as long. But he moved to Atlanta a long, long time ago, and he told me one day, he said, you know, I finally found the church for me. I said, yeah. I said, what church was that? I won't call his name. He ain't listening, but I ain't gonna call his name. He said, you know what? They say it's okay to drink, and they never talk about hell. I said, you found it, didn't you? He said, I found it. That's what a lot goes on. How many times did he say that? They're going to tell you exactly what you want to hear. It's easier to draw a crowd when you tell people what they want to hear. It's okay to tell them you can still live like a pagan because Jesus understands. No, he doesn't. He's going to hold you accountable. You need to understand that. You can live like a pagan if you want to, but you're going to be held accountable for it. Judas. Why did Jesus choose him? Wow. Why does he tolerate us? How much of our life is really like Judas's? We talk a big game. Sometimes we show a big game. But really, why do we do what we do? That's always the question to answer. Why am I going to do this? Why am I not going to do this? What's the reason for it? Is it because of what Jesus is in my life? Or because I want somebody else to think good or bad of me? What's the reason? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you that you're so patient with us. We are just like Judas. We just do it for different reasons. Every one of us in here put you on that cross with our sin. Father, convict us of that. Sometimes we just think we buy into a system and we don't really realize we are the guilty ones. If no one else was on this earth but the ones sitting in this room, we are the ones who killed you. We're just like Judas. Please help us not to live like it. Help us submit our life to your authority and allow you to control us, and help us do the things that we should do because we want to bring glory to your name and that people want to know you because of it, and we can be a witness empowered by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.